Welcome to the Golden Age of Comic Books. Hey, Golden Age fans, it is February 9th, 2007, and this is the 49th installment of the Golden Age of Comic Books. This is Bill Jourdain, your host. I am very glad you're here. Well, I'm going to tackle a topic on the Golden Age of Comic Books for this episode that, honestly, I thought I had probably covered in the past, and when I started looking through the index of my previous episodes, I realized, well, shoot, I never have done an episode on the Golden Age Hawkman. So today we're going to spend a little time talking about the Golden Age Hawkman, his origins, and how he figured in the Golden Age of comic books. But before we talk about Hawkman, let me cover one particular news item that I wanted to mention on the Golden Age of comic books, and that is the publication of a book that came out just in the last week or so. Pretty interesting, and I was pretty excited when I saw it solicited. Had to get a copy, and I've ordered it now, and I've started reading it. I haven't gotten all the way through it yet, but I'm really enjoying it. And that is the Marvel Masterworks Atlas Era Heroes featuring Marvel Boy, Human Torch, Captain America, and Submariner. Now, this book is about 290 pages long. It has a retail price of $54.99 US, so it's a little bit more pricey than some of the other archives or masterworks that we've seen. But it really contains just some fantastic material. It starts out containing the stories of Marvel Boy that appeared in Marvel Boy Comics numbers 1 and 2, and then Astonishing numbers 3 through 6. The name of the title changed, as titles so often did back in the Golden Age, and Marvel Boy stories were contained in Astonishing 3 through 6, so those first six appearances of Marvel Boy are reprinted there in the book. And then it goes into reprinting the stories that appeared in Young Men Comics numbers 24 through 28. That had been a war book and an adventure book, and then with issue number 24, that title changed to a superhero book, where Marvel Atlas at the time decided that they were going to attempt to revive some of their most popular superheroes from the Golden Age of comic books. And so in those titles, you will find the stories of the revival of the Human Torch by Carl Burgos, the Submariner by Bill Everett, and the tales of Captain America and Bucky from this era, as drawn by John Romita and Russ Heath. Of course, Romita went on to draw some wonderful Spider-Man stories after the run by Steve Ditko. And so there's some really good stuff here, and I'm not going to go into the complete history and synopsis of all of the stories and information in this book, but I think you'll really enjoy it, particularly if you're interested in learning about how in the 1950s Atlas decided to give the superheroes another go. Of course, as most of you probably know, after a few of these issues were published, they did not do really well. There was actually a revival of the Human Torch title and the Submariner title, but they were ultimately canceled once again, and not until the Silver Age revival of those characters did we see them again after this effort to revive them at the what I call the late Golden Age of comic books, or that period in between the Golden Age and the Silver Age, whatever you want to call it. Really good stuff, though, and I would encourage you, if you're interested in reading some of these in-between stories of Marvel Boy, Human Torch, Submariner, and Captain America and Bucky, pick up a copy of Marvel Masterworks Atlas Era Heroes featuring those characters, and I don't believe you'll be disappointed at all. Okay, well, let's shift gears and talk about the Golden Age Hawkman. Now, many of you might think that the Golden Age Hawkman is similar to the Silver Age Hawkman or the modern Hawkman, an alien from another planet. Well, that's really not true. The Golden Age Hawkman was nothing of the sort. He was just a guy on Earth, from Earth, and he got his powers through, I guess, a little bit of mysticism and science. So let's talk about that. The Hawkman was a gentleman named Carter Hall, and Carter Hall was a research scientist and a rich collector of antique weaponry. Kind of an interesting combination there. And of course, as we saw with so many superheroes in the Golden Age of comics, this guy was wealthy. We don't really know why he was or how he got his wealth, but he was wealthy, and that explained his ability to collect these wonderful ancient weapons that ultimately would figure very prominently in his guise as the superhero known as the Hawkman. But in the first Hawkman story, the character Carter Hall is in his library, and he has received a package from a friend named Jim Rock in Egypt. And he's anxiously awaiting the opening of the package to find out what ancient weapon might have been sent to him for his collection. And he removes from the package a knife. It looks like almost like a short sword. And it begins to glow as soon as he removes it from the package. And he gets dizzy and almost goes into a dreamlike state. And then as he is in the dream world, if you will, the true story of the origin of this character is told. And what's happened is we have been whisked back to ancient Egypt, and we see in this dream sequence someone who looks just like the blonde-headed Carter Hall that we met in the previous page. But this person is not Carter Hall. He is a prince named Khufu, if I'm pronouncing that correctly. And he is in the process of being whipped by a large slave who was under the control of another evil individual named Hathset, another prince in ancient Egypt. And as he is being whipped, he begins to fight with the slave, and he escapes and jumps into a chariot and disappears into the desert. And he travels across the desert in this chariot to his true love, a woman named Shiera. And he finds her and realizes that Hathset has not found her or done any dastardly deeds to her. But unfortunately, shortly thereafter, Hathset and his men appear on the scene. A wonderful fight scene ensues, and the young prince Khufu is overcome by the superior forces of Hathset's men. And he is then... he decides that instead of being captured, he's going to take his life and take the life of Shiera so that Hathset cannot perform his foul deeds of murder upon either of them. Unfortunately, he is stopped by being shot in the arm with an arrow, and he is bound, and Shiera is bound, and they are taken to Hathset back to his palace. And they are both bound, and Hathset indicates to them both that he is going to kill them and sacrifice them to the evil god Anubis, who is a hawk god. And at that moment, Hathset grabs the dagger, which is the same dagger that Carter Hall in the present had just opened up and found in the package that he received from his friend from Egypt, and he stabs Khufu in the chest. And as Prince Khufu is dying, he gives what is called here the dying prophecy. And he says, "I die, but I shall live again, as shall you, Hathset, and then I shall be the victor." And then he dies, and presumably Shiera dies as well. And then we are brought back to the present, where Carter Hall is standing in his library, now dressed in his modern business suit of the day. And he has revived himself, and he is staring at the dagger and wondering if he is in fact the Prince Khufu reincarnated, as the dream sequence had indicated to him. And so he decides to put the knife, the short sword, back in its box, and he says, "You killed me before, I'm not going to let you kill me again." And he decides to take a walk down the street to clear his head, and as he's walking past the entrance to the subway, many people come screaming out of the entrance of the subway that the rails of the subway have turned blue and they're smoking with electricity. And he runs to see what in the world is going on, and he crashes into a woman who is there. And she looks exactly like the Princess Shiera that he saw in his dream. And he utters her name, and she looks at him and says, "Well, how do you know that? How do you know that's my name?" And they then run down into the subway to see what's happening with the rails, and he decides that he's going to have to somehow investigate what's going on, why these rails are glowing blue with this electricity. And then he and Shiera get into a cab together to go to his home, and he tells her about his dreams and how he knew her name, and she explains to him that she has been having the very same dreams, or as she called them, nightmares, and they couldn't understand how this could be. Well, he tells her that she needs to rest, and he's going to go out for a while and decide what to do to figure out what's happening with this electricity, this weird electricity that's going on in the subway. And he goes into his laboratory and into his storage room where he keeps these ancient weapons that he collects. And he comes out dressed as the god Anubis, the Hawkman, in the familiar costume that so many of you have seen in the Hawkman, the red shorts, the green leggings, the red and yellow boots, the yellow strap across his chest, the big wings, the bird-like helmet. And we don't really understand at this point how in the world this guy who dressed up in this costume could fly. Well, on this same page, they explain that to us. And they call him the Hawkman, Peril of the Night, whose extraordinary powers are derived from Carter Hall's discovery of the secret of the ages, the ninth metal, which defies the pull of the Earth's gravity. So we now know that Carter Hall has discovered this wondrous metal called the ninth metal, and he can use it to fly. He harnesses it to himself, very much like if you've ever read the old Buck Rogers newspaper strips, that's exactly how Buck Rogers flew. He had a pack of some type of material that he could strap onto his back, and that helped him to fly. That was back in the 30s. So this is kind of a swipe from that, but nevertheless, the Hawkman takes flight, and people see him swooping down, and he is striking fear into their hearts. And as he flies, he goes looking for the source of this mysterious blue electrical energy that is in the subway that they saw. And he arrives at the home of a doctor named Haster, who is, as the Hawkman says, an electrician extraordinary. And as he enters the house of Dr. Haster, he sees a huge dynamo and other machines, and it appears that it is, in fact, Haster who is causing this terror in the subway with the electricity. Well, Haster remarks as he looks up in the window and sees the Hawkman staring down at him that it must be Anubis, Hawk God of the ancients. And then we realize that Haster must be Hasset, reincarnated. And so a battle between the two of them ensues, and Hawkman explains that the electricity cannot harm him, that the ninth metal is not conductive, and it won't, the electricity will not harm him, and he destroys Haster's machine. Haster escapes through another door and vows to get vengeance on the Hawkman. And so Haster disappears out the door, and he theorizes that if Khufu has been reincarnated and is now there as the Hawkman in the Anubis-looking costume, that perhaps Shiera was as well. And so he goes into a room and lights an altar of myrrh, and somehow with the fumes from this altar attracts Shiera to his home. And so the Hawkman sees her. After finding that she's disappeared from his home, he sees her at Haster's home, about to be sacrificed by Haster with his electrical machine that apparently is still working or has been repaired. And Hawkman appears and saves Shiera and shoots an arrow through the heart of Haster, thus fulfilling the prophecy of Khufu that he would come back and this time be the victor. And so he rescues Shiera and takes her home to rest. And he says to himself in the last panel, "It seemed too easy a victory. I'm afraid I haven't seen the last of Haster." And then the story concludes with the statement, "Follow the further adventures of the Hawkman against the powers of ancient evil. He wars next month on the Globe Conqueror." Well, and then next month, the Hawkman was back in the pages of Flash Comics. I hadn't mentioned to you yet where Hawkman first appeared, and I will get to that. But he did come back, and interestingly, in the next story, he and Shiera are actually engaged. pretty quick romance going from the first issue to the second issue, and their romance went on from there. So that's the first story in the origin of the Hawkman as told in the Golden Age of comics. Now, where did we find that? Well, as I indicated, it was in Flash Comics. I have spoken about the Flash, the Golden Age Flash, in a previous episode of the Golden Age of comic books. Well, he appeared in Flash Comics number 1, the January 1940 issue. Well, lo and behold, that was also the location where the Golden Age Hawkman had his first appearance. That was in the pages of Flash Comics number 1. The Hawkman, in his initial appearance, was written by Gardner Fox, and the art chores were done by Dennis Neville. Neville was an artist who worked for DC, who had actually done some work on the Spy strip by Siegel and Shuster, the Slam Bradley strip by Siegel and Shuster. He'd also done some work on Superman, and then he only had a short run on Hawkman, but Gardner Fox, the prolific writer who wrote so many of the wonderful Golden Age stories, not only of Hawkman, but of many, many other superhero characters, continued on. Now, Hawkman didn't appear on the cover of Flash Comics number 1. He made his first cover appearance ever on the cover of Flash Comics number 2. That was the February 1940 issue. And starting with issue number 6, that was his second cover appearance. That was the June 1940 issue. He alternated covers with the Flash, every other issue of Flash Comics from that point forward until the series ended. Now, as I mentioned, Neville quit the art chores on the series, and with issue number 4, that was the April 1940 issue, the great Shelley Moldoff took over chores of drawing the Hawkman and continued on for many, many years thereafter and really defined the character not only in the pages of Flash Comics, but in other comics where the Hawkman appeared, and we'll talk about that in just a second. But importantly, and this is something that I wanted to mention because all of you were probably wondering, at least those of you that are fans of the Hawkman, you're wondering, well, what about Hawk Girl? In the Silver Age, there was a Hawk Girl, and of course there's been a Hawk Girl in all of the current and modern DC stories and comics. Well, Hawk Girl was Shiera, who I mentioned in the first story that appeared in Flash Comics number 1. Her name was Shiera Sanders, and late in the run, she actually married Carter Hall and became his wife, but she was the fiancée of Carter Hall for many, many years, or the girlfriend, as she was referred to sometimes. But in the pages of All-Star Comics number 5, and of course that was the title in which the JSA, the Justice Society of America, had its appearances, she appeared as Hawk Girl for the very first time in that particular title. That was drawn by Shelley Moldoff. That was the June-July 1941 issue. And then starting with issue number 24 of Flash Comics, she became a full-time superhero and starred as Hawk Girl in all of the stories thereafter. Now, issue number 62 brought a major change in the life of Hawkman. His headgear changed. The familiar wings on his helmet were taken away. And also in that issue, the great Joe Kubert began drawing the Hawkman stories. And he continued on for many, many years, drawing the character not only in the Golden Age, but in the Silver Age as well. The Hawkman continued in the pages of Flash Comics until the final issue of that title. That was issue number 104, and actually was a Hawkman cover. That was the February 1949 issue. But that wasn't the last appearance of the Hawkman, and in fact, the Hawkman was probably better known for his appearances in All-Star Comics. As I mentioned, he was in the JSA over in All-Star Comics. In fact, he was one of the founding members. He appeared in All-Star before the JSA was founded. He appeared in All-Stars 1 and 2 in solo stories. But then with the founding of the JSA in All-Star Comics number 3, the Hawkman, as I said, was a charter member. That was the winter of 1940 issue. And in many, many stories of the JSA, Hawkman was the chairman, acting chairman of the JSA. In fact, Hawkman appeared in every single JSA story from All-Star Comics number 3 until that title ended with All-Star Comics number 57. That was the February-March 1951 issue, and the very last appearance of the Hawkman in the Golden Age of comic books. So if you're interested in reading Hawkman stories from the Golden Age of comics, there are really only two places to go. One is Flash Comics, and the other, of course, as I mentioned, is All-Star Comics. Now, the Hawkman, after the last appearance in the Golden Age of comics with All-Star number 57, was gone for about 10 years. And then 10 years later, in February-March of 1961, the Hawkman was brought back in the pages of Brave and Bold, The Brave and the Bold, number 34. And he actually appeared in the next three issues, 34, 35, and 36 of The Brave and the Bold. He then came back and appeared in an Atom story, in Atom number 7. He then came back for a second tryout series, that was Brave and the Bold number 42, 43, and 44. And then finally he was given his own series with Hawkman number 1, that was the April-May 1964 issue. And of course he also appeared in the pages of the Justice League of America in that title and became a member of the JLA in the Silver Age of comics. Of course, as you all know, this was not Carter Hall. This was a different Hawkman altogether, and I'm not going to go into all of the back story of the Silver Age Hawkman, but for those of you that are fans of that character, be forewarned that it's not the same Hawkman. It's kind of like the difference in the Silver Age Flash and the Golden Age Flash. They were two separate characters and two separate people. The Golden Age Hawkman did come back and make appearances later on in the pages of the All-Star Squadron. They made their first appearance in the pages of Justice League of America number 193, and then their own title came out in 1981, and Hawkman, the original Golden Age Hawkman, figured prominently in the stories of the All-Star Squadron. Well, if you want to read about the Hawkman, where do you go to find reprints of those great Golden Age Hawkman stories? Well, fortunately, you can read all of the Hawkman stories from the JSA All-Star appearances in the All-Star Comics Archives. I've mentioned those on several occasions. There are 12 volumes of All-Star Comics Archives. The first is Volume 0, which actually reprints the issues prior to All-Star number 3. In which JSA made its first appearance. And then starting with Volume 1, you have the reprinted there all of the All-Star comic stories from All-Star number 3 all the way through All-Star number 57. So you can read every single All-Star appearance with the Hawkman in those volumes if you're interested in doing that. Unfortunately, DC has put out one volume of the Golden Age Hawkman archives. That book came out, I believe, at the end of 2005, and it's still readily available. So, unfortunately, you won't get all of the Hawkman stories from Flash Comics, but hopefully DC will continue to reprint those and bring out some other volumes of Hawkman, the Golden Age archives. Maybe Chris over at the Collected Comics Library podcast can give us a little more information about what DC's plans are for the Golden Age Hawkman and reprinting these other stories, but it would be nice to get the rest of those reprinted. But for now, you've got a lot of reading material for Golden Age Hawkman stories, and I think you should be able to find all of those All-Star Archive books without any difficulty, and of course the Golden Age Hawkman book as well. Hawkman was really a great character, a trend-setting character. As I mentioned earlier, there were some swipes from others that this character had, but certainly he was unique enough and one of the more popular members of the JSA to endure on until the very end of the run of the superheroes in the Golden Age of comic books. All right, well, I hope you've enjoyed learning a little bit about the Golden Age Hawkman on the 49th episode of the Golden Age of comic books. Let me say that I've really enjoyed getting the emails and posts that I've gotten from many of you wondering just where has the Golden Age of comic books gone since mid-December when I posted the last issue. Unfortunately, as I've said to many of you in emails and on the blog, January is just a very busy month for me and my job, and I'm also involved in some volunteer efforts away from the comic book world, and been real busy this January working on work stuff and working on some volunteer stuff. So I appreciate everybody's patience and bearing with me, and I'm glad I was able to get back in here and get another show done. And as I often say, I'm going to try my best to not have such a long delay. But if I do, again, bear with me. I want to make these shows as good as I can, and it takes a little bit of time to do the research and get down to the recording stage of these particular shows. So thanks again for bearing with me and for your patience and your support of the Golden Age of Comic Books. I tell you, I've really enjoyed having a page over at Comic Space. I set my Comic Space page up shortly after that site was put into motion, and I'm real happy at the number of folks that have responded positively to my Comic Space page. If you haven't checked it out, go on over to comicspace.com, and then it's / Golden Age Comics, and I think you'll enjoy the content there. One of the best features, I think, of my Comic Space page is the fact that I have put on that particular site an index to all of the episodes of the Golden Age of Comic Books, and they are linked to the podcast show notes for that particular episode. So if you want to scroll through that page, you'll see the list of all the podcasts that I've done related to the Golden Age of Comic Books, and just click on any one of those, and it'll take you right to the show notes where you can then click on the MP3 file. So check that out. If you haven't joined Comic Space, join up and click on the friend link there to make the Golden Age of Comic Books a friend, and leave us some comments there. I'd like to see those. And speaking of Comic Space, as you know, I always talk about the Grand Comic Book Database Project, and I ask everybody to support the GCD by going to their website at comics.org. I was asked and I was pleased to set up the Comic Space page for the GCD, so they're there now as well. You can go to comicspace.com/GCD, and you'll find the website on Comic Space for the Grand Comic Book Database Project. As always, just a great effort by those volunteers at the GCD to catalog and index all of the comics that have ever been created. And I think they're approaching 150,000 cover images now that have been uploaded. Over 100,000 individual issues of comic books have been indexed. So just an incredible storehouse of information. If you haven't checked out the GCD website, go on over there to comics.org and check it out. And please check out my website, goldenagecomics.org. That's where I have the main show notes for each episode of the Golden Age of Comic Books. I've got some links there and other information that might be helpful to you regarding Golden Age comics. So check out goldenagecomics.org. That web address will redirect you to my blog page where all this stuff is located. So check that out. And as always, don't forget to support the Actor Comic Book Fund. Actually, it's now called the Hero Initiative. Go to heroinitiative.org and support that particular fund as well. Well, once again, I appreciate everybody tuning in for the 49th episode of the Golden Age of Comic Books for February 9th, 2007. I'll be back with number 50, hopefully real soon, and I'm going to try to pick out a special topic for the 50th episode. I don't know if I'm ever going to get to 100, but by golly, I'm going to keep trying, and hopefully I'll get there. So thanks again for joining us this week, everybody, on the Golden Age of Comic Books. Get on out there and read some Hawkman reprints. I think you'll find them very, very enjoyable, and I look forward to talking to each and every one of you about Golden Age comic books on our next show.